just one more time, amen? Amen. Just one more time. I think about those 10 lepers, and the Bible said that only one of them had turned to say thank you, amen? Do us well to go back and just say thank you, Jesus, for all you've done for me, amen? Praise God. Tonight, the book of Psalms, if you will. Psalm chapter number 19. Psalm chapter number 19, the Word of God. And we'll read starting in verse number 7 of Psalm 19. We're really going to deal mainly with one verse. Well, God's good, amen? Amen. He's way better to us than we deserve. No doubt about that. Psalm chapter 19. Let's look, starting reading verse number 7. If you're there, say amen. The Bible says the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you for loving us. So oftentimes we've been unlovely. Lord, tonight we do just want to say thank you one more time. Thank you so much for allowing us to be in your house. Lord, so many times, once again, you've brought us back. So many times, once again, you've lifted us back up. So many times, once again, you've done the impossible in our life, and we want to say thank you. Lord, tonight I pray that you cleanse me of my sin, empty me of self, fill me with your spirit, that, Lord, nothing would hinder the work of God, that you had put a hedge of protection about this place. And Father, we pray that when it's all said and done, you'll help us give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to draw your attention back to verse number 14 tonight. It'll be our main text. So the Bible says, let the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. These are some of the most beautiful words that have ever been put on paper. I love Psalm chapter 19, all of it, but I especially love verse number 14. I love this passage of Scripture. Not only are they wonderful because of the poetry they make, but don't miss this, please. But if we could some way, as I read this and as I begin to study this and think about this, I begin to think about if some way we could just get our heart lined up and in tune with David's heart as he spoke these words. I'm talking tonight about a true desire to be a holy man of God, to be a holy woman of God, to be a holy person for God. Tonight, for the next few moments, I just want to preach on this simple thought, an acceptable Christian or acceptable Christianity. Well, the Bible says there, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. What a beautiful passage this is. If we could some way truly get our heart in line with David's heart as he spoke these words, we truly would be more successful at pleasing our Lord and Savior and pleasing God with our life. And we would be more successful at conducting ourselves in the manner that God would have us to conduct ourselves as children of God. I believe tonight that if we're truly saved, it ought to be our chief desire to please God. Now, I want to say this. I understand there's some other things because guess what? Praise God, we got saved and I'm glad about that. And we got a new nature, but we didn't get rid of that old nature, did we? And so the Bible tells us that we still strive with that old nature sometimes. And so while, yes, we have that desire to please God, there's going to be other desires to try to get in the way. But I believe if you're truly saved that it ought to be our chief desire, I mean more than anything else in our life, that we'd please God. And not only our desire, but it should be our prayer. That should be our prayer. That the conduct of our life, the behavior, I'm talking about our lifestyle. We pray for many things, but I'm afraid not very often do we pray that our lives would be lived with good conduct, that our lives would be lived pleasing to God. This really is a prayer that David says here in this passage of Scripture. And too often times I believe that our prayers is all about, Lord, I need this, and Lord, I need that. And yet we understand we are a needy people. And God said, call unto me and come unto me. I get that. And he wants us to cast our care and to lay our burden upon him. But let me just say tonight that it would do us well. It's just every now and then we'd say, oh, Lord, I'm concerned tonight, but not about something I need, but about what you need me to be. Let the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable on thy side, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I've often prayed that prayer before my feet ever hit the floor in the morning. By the way, not a bad thing to do. That we would get up and from the very beginning we would begin to purpose in our heart that our day would go and would be pleasing to the Lord. Though we say many times that we want to please God, we often make no preparations to see that come to fruition. We oftentimes, you see, it's easy to say, yes, I want to please God with my life, but it's a whole other thing when we begin to plan things into our life that would cause us to do just that. We often make no preparations, we make no plans of how today, my behavior, my conduct as a Christian would please God. By the way, I want to say this, it's a daily challenge. It's day by day. Like, you don't get something, thank God for being saved, but you don't get something and then all of a sudden that you never have to worry about it anymore. You're always going to please God. Oh, no, every single day. That's why Paul said, I die daily. Because every day of your life, you get up and you have to make a decision. Am I going to live for me or am I going to live for God? Am I going to live for the world and the flesh or am I going to live by the Spirit and through the Spirit unto God? Here, David had this desire in his heart to please God. Because he did, that was his prayer, and he prayed. And I want to say, by the way, you'll never live the Christian life that you should live by accident. Right. Say that again, it's got to hit somebody. I said, you'll never ever live the Christian life, the life God wants you to live, the life we ought to live. You'll never do that by accident. Nobody just stumbles up on it. But it's something that's planned, that there's something where deep down inside we've made preparation and we've made a plan and we've prayed and we're truly pressing toward the mark to hit that very goal. Those who live holy lives have planned. They've prepared. They've prayed. It doesn't have, you look at them, you think of the greatest Christian that you know and you look at them and you say, well, I tell you what, I'd like to change places with that person at the judgment seat of Christ, or I wish my life could be like that. I wish I could be that close to God. Hey, friend, it don't just happen. They didn't wake up that way one morning, but they made some plans and some preparations in their life that I want to please God. Ought to be our main desire. Too often times we try to live the Christian life in our flesh and it just doesn't work. I want you to notice several things looking at this verse tonight when it comes to being an acceptable Christian or acceptable Christianity. Notice with me, number one, the sight of our conduct. We're talking about our behavior, our conduct as a Christian. Notice the sight of our conduct. Look at verse 14. The psalmist here says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. Here, as the psalmist prays for good conduct and good behavior and living the Christian life, there's two main areas that he's concerned with that I believe tonight you and I ought to be equally concerned with. He prays and, listen, he understands that if we could somehow get these two areas in our life cleaned up, we would be light years ahead where we ought to be, where we could be, and especially where the average Christian is. We'd be light years ahead of the average Christian if we could get these two areas in our life cleaned up. Notice, first of all, he talks about the mouth. He says, watch it in verse 14, let the words of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight. Let the words of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight. Sad to say, many mouths that belong to Christ, that belong to Christ, spew out filthy things from morning to evening. It's amazing sometimes what I've heard come out of Christians' mouths. It's amazing sometimes, and you caught up in social media, some of y'all see a lot more of me because I'm not on there much, but you see some stuff, people supposed to be children of God, amen, supposed to be Christians, and yet I'm telling you that there's things coming out of their mouth that aren't like Christ. The Bible says, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursings, and then he said this, these things ought not to be so. The same mouth, blessings and cursings. David said in Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. Lifting up, brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of a miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, established my going. Then he said this, he hath put a new song in my mouth. He said there's a new song in his mouth. Saved people ought to not talk the way lost people talk. I hear things come out of Christians' mouths sometimes, and I'll just be honest with you, it shocks me. Have you ever noticed that it seems we can say anything that we won't say as long as it's funny? As long as we make a joke, ha-ha, right? As long as we make a joke about it, we can say anything we want to say. We can be as off-color as we want to be, and it's just all in fun and all that kind of stuff. Listen, I've lost respect for many people that after spending a little time with, I love taking preachers out and pastors out. It's not just preachers and pastors, but there have been some of those. I love taking those out, those folks out, and especially getting to know them. But I just be honest with you, there's been times you spend a little time with them and you figure out real quick that their speech isn't what it ought to be. I remember going to a men's conference several years ago, and they had a golf tournament before, and I was playing in the golf tournament. And the main preacher, if I said his name, any of you in this room would know him. And the main preacher heading up the conference was sitting outside in a golf cart with a couple other men around him. And they're all laughing, cutting up. That's what the fun was about. I was done. We was done with our round. We was coming through the parking lot. I went over there. He begins to tell this story and tell this joke. What do you want to call it? And he made the comment, he said, and the joke or the punchline was they had the best blankety-blank choir, yada, yada, yada. And literally said the cuss word. This is a men's conference. And says the cuss word. I want you to hold your place here. Go with me to James chapter 3 real fast, if you will. James chapter 3. James chapter number 3. James shed some light on this issue for us here. In James chapter number 3, look with me starting at verse number 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, watch this. If anybody is bridled the tongue, watch this. The same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. We see here in James chapter number 3 how powerful our tongue really is, and how important it is to keep it under subjection. Notice in verse 3, it says, he talks about bits in the mouth, how it turns the whole horse. That's powerful, that small bit. Yet it controls what that horse does. Controls everything about it. Verse number 4, he talks about a little helm that turns the huge ship. Just that small helm on the bottom of that ship, but it's controlling the whole thing. It's powerful. The tongue is a little member, but it has a major impact. How great a matter, he says, a little fire kindleth. How great a matter, a little fire kindleth. I want to read to you Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 21, the Bible says this. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Did you get that? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's why we got to be so careful about the things that come out of our mouth. We got to be so careful about the thing. Listen, David understood and knew the importance of making sure that we kept our speech right. Look further on, verse 7 of James chapter number 3, if you're still there. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of men, of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Look at the illustration he gives. Contrast. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and doeth knowledge among you, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Listen, it may not be that you're talking dirty. It might just simply be that you're spreading gossip. It might just be what you're talking about. It might just be what you're allowing folks to talk to you about. Listen, in James chapter number 1 here, in verse number 26, the Bible says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's, watch this, religion is vain. You ever met somebody that just couldn't keep a secret? We all know that person, right? It's like telegraph, telephone, tell a so-and-so, and you put that name in there, I won't. We all know that person that they can't keep a secret. The Bible says if you can't bridle your own tongue, they have some information. But they want the world to know they have some information. And like a little kid sitting on, oh, you know, they just can't wait. God will let it out. Proverbs 16:28 says this. Go back there real quick. Proverbs 16:28. Notice the Bible says. In Proverbs 16:28, the Bible says, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer, watch this, a whisperer separateth chief friends. I worry about people when they start whispering. Amen. Hey, if you have to whisper to say what you're saying, you probably shouldn't be saying it. Especially in public. If you got to whisper in order to say that particular thing. Can I tell you a sure mark of a busybody? Preacher, people's coming to me. Well, why are they coming to you first, right? Why are they coming to you? I mean, why do they feel like that they can come to you? I mean, is there a sign on your forehead that says problem solver? There's a reason they feel like, I'll tell you why, because they know they can get an ear. The telltale sign, preacher, people's coming. David said, let the words of my mouth be acceptable. Be acceptable in thy sight. He talks about the mouth. I'll tell you something. If you're ever and if I'm ever going to please God with our life, if we're ever going to be the Christians we ought to be, we're going to have to get our tongue and our mouth right. Notice the second thing. He says, back in Psalm 119 and verse number 14 in our text, not only the mouth but the mind, he says, let the word of my mouth, watch this, and the meditation of my heart. Now we understand when he talks about heart, he's not speaking about that organ that pumps blood through your veins, but he's talking about the innermost part of who you are. Ultimately, he's talking about your mind. And the psalmist here was not only concerned about his mouth being right, but the psalmist here was concerned as much with his mind being right. He's concerned with what's in his mind. He's concerned about his faults. The Bible says this, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Well, you better be concerned about your mind. You better be concerned about what it's filled with. Grandma said, hey, you thought it, you might as well said it. Because if it's in there, sin's already happened. By the way, if it's in your mind long enough, it's going to eventually come out of your mouth. It's going to eventually come out. From the abundance of the heart, the Bible says, the mouth speaketh. If it's in there, it's eventually going to come out. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth. That's why it's so important to make sure that we know what's in our heart, what's in our mind. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We may not be what we think we are, but we are what we think. Do you hear that? We may not be what we think we are. I'm certainly most. I like to buy people for what they think they're worth and sell them for what they're really worth. Right? No, I said that backwards. I like to buy them for what they're really worth, sell them for what they think they're worth. Hey, listen, we may not be what we think we are, but we are what we think. If I think about how I can hurt people, that's what I am, somebody who wants to hurt others. If I have lust in my heart and think about those things, then I'm a lustful person. If we're going to have a right thought life, we need to pray that God will help us to think on the right things. So important to keep our mind right. And that's the key. Listen, it's not enough to just get rid of the bad thoughts and get the bad thoughts out. But we got to put the right things in. Otherwise, listen, if we don't, the bad will just slip back in, that empty mind. You've heard said, an empty mind is the devil's playground. That's so true. I want you to go here to this place with me, Philippians 4:8. I hope you know it. Philippians 4:8. Hold your place in Psalms. It's still our main text. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8. And you ought to mark this verse if you have not done so. Philippians chapter number 4. And let's look at verse number 8. Paul writes, and he says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." David's desires that his life would please the Lord and praise the Lord. If it's good, if it's holy, if it's pure, if it's right, think about what our mind many times sets its focus upon. And I'm saying that if we're going to be the people God wants us to be, we got to get our mind right. The only way it can is if we keep our mind pure and our thought life pure. Those of you who have heard me very long, you've heard me talk about how Satan tricked Eve. He got in her mind. He tricked her. Listen, let me tell you what he did. The very beginning, the very fall of man, I'm going to tell you how it happened. It happened like this. Satan planted thoughts of doubt in Eve's mind. You know what the doubts were? God's holding out on you. You know, he knows that if you were to really eat of that tree, you'd be like us. And he's holding out on you. He don't want you to have what you could have. He convinced her in her mind. And I want to tell you, Satan will plant a thought in your mind about a family member. He'll plant a thought in your mind about a friend. He'll plant a thought in your mind about a church member. He'll plant a thought in your mind about the music director. He'll plant a thought in your mind about your Sunday school teacher. He'll plant a thought in your mind about the pastor. He'll plant some thought in your mind. Well, they passed right by me, didn't even shake my hand. Maybe they're blind. Maybe they didn't see you. Good morning. What do they mean by that? Maybe good morning. Right? Hey, that's what Satan does. He takes it and he twists it in our mind. Be very careful about assuming. Please hear me, please. How many of you know the term of eating crow? I've ate my fair share. There are times that we conjure up things in our mind. You wouldn't believe the things that the devil places in my mind. You wouldn't believe. Something happened, something said, you kind of start putting things together and he starts helping you, by the way, make those connections. And I know what it must be. That's why they're not here. They're probably this is happening, that's happening, the other's happening. Every time one of you are not here, guess what? The devil's playing tricks on my mind. And he'll do it to you just the same. David said, watch this. Let the words of my mouth the meditation of my heart be acceptable. I want you to see not on the side of our conduct, but notice the second thing back in our text quickly. Notice the standard of conduct. Please watch this. Standard of our conduct. Verse 14, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, watch this, be acceptable, underline it, in, here's the word, thy sight. David did not say, let my words and my actions and my thoughts be acceptable in my sight. Because can I tell you this? The Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Every one of us left up to ourselves, we're doing all right. We compare ourselves to less spiritual people we know, and we're doing great. But let's ask God how we're doing. That's what the psalmist said. Be acceptable in thy sight. Many times we're deceived about what we think's okay, or we're deceived about what we talk about, or what we say. We think it's okay to share things with folks. I like this one. You know, here's the new gossip in most Baptist churches. Hey, I got to tell you something. I need you to pray for so-and-so. Blah, 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 blah. Now listen, you need me to pray for them. I honestly want to pray for them if there's something that somebody needs prayer. But prayer's not a time for gossip. Amen? The standard, he says, be acceptable in thy sight. We've got our own standards of what we think's all right and what we think's okay. The Bible says all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. Left up to us, we're always right. We're doing okay. We can boost our ego and feel pretty good about ourselves by looking down at somebody else and what they're into. Our standards, listen, it's not standards that the world sets. It's not standards that we set ourselves, but it's the standard that God has set. David prayed that his conduct and his speech and his thought life would be accepted of the Lord. Look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Hold your place where you're at. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. And look at me at verse number 9. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. I want to give you three things real quick that you ought to always ask yourself before you say something. Three things. You ought to write them down. Number one, the first thing that you ought to always ask yourself before you're going to open your mouth is what I'm going to say, number one, is it true? Now, I've had people say, well, preacher, I didn't say anything that wasn't true. I'm fixing to give you the second one. Is what I'm fixing to say kind? Is what I'm fixing to say kind? But here's the biggest one. Is what I'm going to say necessary? Because many times it's not. We offer a lot more than what's necessary. There's a lot more comes out of our mouth many times than what we really need to say to get the point across. We need to understand that it's not about what I think's right. It's not about, listen, what the world tells us is acceptable. It's all about His standard and what He says is right. He's the only one we have to please. Listen, let's just be honest. I want to please. I want people to like me. I want them to like what I'm doing. And listen, if you say you don't, you're lying. You want people to accept you and like you and all that. But simply, I want to tell you this. At the end of the day, there's only one standard that I try to meet. There's only one person, honestly, that I have to please, and that is to be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. That ought to be our main goal. That ought to be what we push for. You see, the great thing about trying to be acceptable to the Lord, watch this, is His standard never changes. What's right today in the world will be wrong 10 years from now, 5 years from now. Right? I mean, look, we're calling good evil and evil good. Right? What used to be wrong 20 years ago, now we're parading and promoting. The great thing about always trying to be acceptable to the Lord is that standard never ever changes. It's always the same. Isn't it amazing that so many things that were wrong, the world's saying now they're right? God, help us to have the heart that David had. Pray that we'd be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. I'm going to give you a third and final thing. Not only the sight, not only the standard, but notice the sovereign in our conduct. Verse 14, notice it. It says, let the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Watch this, what he's called. My strength and my redeemer. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The reality is tonight that living the Christian life and doing these things I'm talking about is an impossibility without God's help. It's impossible. But I want to tell you tonight, there is a sovereign God that sits high and looks low, and everything's under his feet, and he's put his power deep down in my heart and in my soul, and I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. It's impossible without him. That's why David's prayer ended. Oh Lord, my strength and my redeemer. He said, preacher, I can't. I know, but God can't. He's our strength. Oh, I love what the Apostle Paul said. He said, his strength is made perfect in our weakness. He said again later, he said, when I am weak, then I am strong. How is that? Through the strength of God. Oh Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Having a life that pleases God is unattainable to man. But all things are possible with God. And he helps us. And David understood this when he said, oh Lord, my strength and my redeemer. David knew he would fail miserably in his own flesh. He knew there's no way he could do it. I've had people come to me and say, preacher, there's no way. I just reason I don't try because I know I can't live the life I need to live. Neither can I. But I'm glad that the grace that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Watch this. Teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldliness, we should live soberly, righteously in this present world. What does grace do? Teaches us. Grace of God. The power of God in our life enables us to live the life that the Lord wants us to live. When we try to honor God in our own strength, we'll fail and we'll end up discouraged. God helps us through his word, and God helps us through his spirit, and God helps us by giving us strength that we need. Way to stay clean and pure in word and deed with our mouth and with our mind is to, listen to me, is to immerse yourself in God's word. That's what this passage was talking about, by the way. Oh, listen, he says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. The only way we'll ever be the clean Christians that God wants us to be is if we truly immerse ourselves and drown ourselves in the word of God. In Psalm 19:11 here, he says, moreover, by them, talking about the word of God, is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. Back up verse number 13 of chapter 19. Keep back thy servant also, which is from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgressions. What's he depending to do that? The word of God. There are things that I have come up against in my life that the honest truth is the only reason that I didn't do them is because there was a word in my mind. The word of God popped up in my mind. It might not have been exactly thou shalt, but it was a principle, it was a truth, where very clearly God said to me through his word in my mind, this isn't right. This isn't godly and this isn't good. I wonder as we stand for prayer tonight if there's anyone here that would gather at this altar with an honest heart would say, as the psalmist here said, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord, O thy Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I want to say, none of us have attained. None of us have achieved 100% perfection in this. All of us could use help. And I'm just saying that is there anybody here tonight as the psalmist that has a heart lined up with him to the point that you want to please God with your life, that you would come to an old-fashioned altar and pray that prayer, oh God, let the words of my mouth, the meditation that's in my heart, be acceptable. You know your heart. And you know what comes out of your mouth. More importantly, and even more great, God knows. May God help us. While we sing, you come.